Just by his lotus feet touching the earth. The earth supplied everything bountifully. The seasons went very smoothly. Proper amounts of rain fall at the right times of the day, meaning at night, so that in the morning everything, the fields were properly watered and the sun would then shine and things could grow in a perfect way. Mountains were supplying minerals, the rivers were supplying jewels and fresh water and on and on and on. Everything was just by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. And those who were opposed to the divine supremacy of the personality of Godhead, Krishna took care of that too. So the Pandavas were accustomed, although they had their own tribulations due to the demoniac influence of Duryodhana and others. That was now gone. But these symptoms, Kali Yuga symptoms, were showing themselves. Inauspiciousness is so prevalent in Kali Yuga, we're just jaded by it. That's how things are. But the Pandavas hadn't seen any of it. Some of the things that Yudhisthira noticed, he saw the direction of eternal time had changed. And this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. That wasn't known. Now it's quite common. It doesn't rain in the rainy season, and it rains in the dry season. Summers are hot, summers are cold, winters are warm. This one's normal winter. People in general had become greedy, angry and deceitful. Prabhupada explains that this is not normal. This is when the attention is turned away from God, when one is in darkness, these are symptoms of darkness. Or one whose attention is turned to God, these symptoms are absent. So, in order to overcome these anomalies, bringing attention of the public or of an individual once again to God, specifically to the personality of Godhead Krishna. That's the universal plan. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends, and in familial affairs. There was always misunderstandings between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers, and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel, unknown in Krishna's presence. In the course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Lord Yudhisthira, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother, Bhima. I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends, because Arjuna had been to Dwarka before, when he was on that 1 year taking a vow of traveling incognito. When he came, the arrangement was made and he married Subhadra. So he had already been to Dwarka. There are relatives that live in Dwarka, members of the Yadu dynasty. So go see your friends, go see our relatives. Bring news back, how everyone is doing. And most importantly, what's Krishna's plan. I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes, as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? And here's Prabhupada's purport. This is the verse we'll discuss. As we have discussed many times, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, has many plenary expansions, and each and every one of them, although equally powerful, executes different functions. In these statements, in Bhagavad Gita, there are different statements by the Lord, and each of these statements is meant for different plenary portions or portions of the plenary portion. For example, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 4:7, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, or an overflow of everything in the kitchen, at that time I descend myself to deliver the faithful, to annihilate the miscreants, and also to reestablish the principles of occupational duty. I appear in every age. Or 3:24 Bhagavad Gita. If I should cease to work, then all humanity would be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. Or 3:21 Bhagavad Gita. Whatever action a great man performs, common men will follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. All the above statements by the Lord apply to different plenary portions of the Lord, namely, his expansions, such as Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Narayana. These are all he himself in different transcendental expansions, and still the Lord, as Sri Krishna, functions in a different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. And yet, Lord Krishna, as he is, appears once every 24 hours of Brahma's time, or after a lapse of 8,640,000,000 solar years, in each and every universe. And all his transcendental pastimes are displayed in each and every universe in a routine spool. But in that routine spool, the functions of Lord Krishna, Lord Vasudeva, etc., are complex problems for the layman. There is no difference between the Lord's self and the Lord's transcendental body. The expansions execute different activities. When the Lord, however, appears in his person, as Lord Sri Krishna, his other plenary portions also join in him by his inconceivable potency called Yoga Maya, and thus the Lord Krishna of Vrindavan is different from Lord Krishna of Mathura, or the Lord Krishna of Dwarka. Then he comes back and says they're also none different. The Virat Rupa of Lord Krishna is also different from him by his inconceivable potency. The Virat Rupa exhibited on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is the material conception of his form. Therefore, it should be understood that when Lord Krishna was apparently killed by the bow and arrow of the hunter, the Lord left his so-called material body in the material world. The Lord is Kaivalya, and for him there is no difference between matter and spirit, because everything is created from him. therefore, his quitting one sort of body or accepting another body does not mean that he is like the ordinary living being. All such activities are simultaneously one and different by his inconceivable potency. When Maharaj Yudhisthira was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body, as is misconceived by less intelligent persons. Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as Amudhas. That the Lord has left his body means that he left, again, his plenary portions in the respective dhams, or transmissal abodes, as he left his virat rupa in the material world. End of purport. So there's a lot of information here. The verse Apidevarshi Nadishta Sakaloyam Upastitaha Yadamano Nrigam Parakridam Bhagavan Utsashrikshati. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes, as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already come? The Prabhupada in the purport is covering a lot of ground here. Several very prominent statements, that one of them in the very beginning is there's different statements made by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and these different statements specifically pertain to, they're meant for different plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. This terminology, portions of a plenary portion, it's technical Sanskrit language being translated into English. There are forms of Krishna that are partial manifestations of his fullness, and yet still considered to be in the same category. For example, the Purusha avatars, Vishnu forms, Vishnu Tattva, Maha Vishnu, Ravadakshaya Vishnu, Sharadakshaya Vishnu. They're in the portion of the plenary portion, although they're still the same category, Vishnu Tattva category. And then, in the spiritual world, Balaram, the Chaturvyuha, Narayana, these are plenary portions. So, Prabhupada is just following the Sanskrit, the direct Sanskrit statements. There's a technical difference on a practical level. It's just a technical difference. It indicates something, but on a practical level, they're in the same category. Distinct from them is a living entity who is not a portion of a plenary portion. It's not plenary. It's just a fragment. So that's another angsa another Sanskrit term. The main consideration generally or overall is there's the part and there's the whole, and these Krishna and his plenary portions and his portions of the plenary portions, they're the whole. They're different functions that they're performing. So that's what Prabhupada is indicating here. The function of annihilating the miscreants and so forth, that's a function that's of the material world, because in the spiritual world there's no miscreants and there's no annihilating, because everything is eternal. So, although Krishna is making the statement, Prabhupada is very subtly letting us know there are different features or aspects of Krishna that the next section describes, or the purport describes. When Krishna himself appears, these different portions, or portions of a plenary portion, they, by his inconceivable yogamaya potency, they amalgamate themselves, or they become one with Krishna. They enter into Krishna's transcendental form. And so when Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita, or when Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna, or when he's killing demons here and there, this is different aspects of the original personality of Godhead. But the original personality of Godhead, while all those aspects of him are in him, there's his feature in Goloka Vrindavan, which is he himself, as opposed to some, so in other words, Krishna in his Vrajalila is the original personality of Godhead, who is descending from Goloka Vrindavan to this material world, exhibiting the same pastime that Krishna performs in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no Bhagavad Gita speaking, there's no demon killing, and there's no birth pastimes, and there's no things like that. So, that's the understanding that Prabhupada is passing on here. And when we see, as in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, even Bhishma Dev, there's several indications in the first canto of the super exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan. spoken by one who knows that Krishna is God, not that Krishna is an ordinary human being. Yet, so he knows that Krishna is the super soul, appearing as the nephew of the Pandavas. Just see how wonderful is Krishna. He's the cause of all causes, but he appears in this world as if he's one of us. And specifically, how much favoring he is to the Pandavas that he appears as their cousin. So, Bhishma Dev is not bewildered by the various manifestations of Krishna's activities in this world. We clarify them. They're transcendental activities, although they appear to be like our activities, they're not. And with that understanding, he also especially appreciates the residents of Vrindavan, and especially appreciates the feature of the gopis, and in many other places. So, there's Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, there's Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan, and different features of Krishna are being exhibited in both places. Then, following the title of the chapter, the theme message of the chapter, the disappearance of Lord Krishna, in this pastime of Krishna's appearance, we can understand, we can better understand that the disappearance of Krishna by also understanding the appearance of Krishna. as he says, Prabhupada is paraphrasing the verse from Bhagavad Gita, avajanati ma mudha manushim tanamashritam. Those who are mudha, strong word, foolish, Prabhupada goes forth and says, fools and rascals, fools and rascals, those who are mudha, they think that Krishna has taken on the body. Krishna has assumed the body like we and the soul enter a body. So they think Brahman has become covered. Like us, we are Brahman. But in a covered state, Krishna just happens to have a very rarefied mode of goodness form. This is an impersonal conception. And it's a wrong conception. Parambhavam ajananto. They don't know my higher nature. Parambhavam ajananto. Which is inexhaustible and supreme. They don't know. So, just as Krishna doesn't assume a physical body, or as Prabhupada puts it succinctly, there's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. That makes it very clear. For us, there is a difference. There's a soul inside, and there's a body outside, and when the soul that's inside goes outside, the body, the integrating factor of the body and the animating factor of the body is finished. Call death, and the body disintegrates, because the integrating component is gone, the soul. So we have something inside and something outside, but for Krishna there's no inside outside. There's no material body. And so in the disappearance pastime of Krishna, being gently gestured towards in the purport, the hunter with his bow and arrow piercing the heel of Krishna, Krishna leaves behind his Virat Rupa. In a particular, not the exact same Virat Rupa that you find in the Bhagavad Gita, but the Virat Rupa, the material is above the language here. The material conception of his form is so-called material body in the material world. Virat Rupa. It's a form of the Lord. It's one of his forms, but it's a temporary form. And since the Lord is not temporary, his form is not temporary, therefore Prabhupada uses the language calling it an illusory form. So that's one of Krishna's potencies, is his illusory potency, and through the agency of his illusory potency, he manifests this illusory form, or the form of himself in the material world. It's a now you see it, now you don't form. It's just like matter. The manifestation of matter and the withdrawal of the manifestation of matter. The magical hat. There's nothing in the hat, and you pull the rabbit out of the hat and put the rabbit back in the hat, the rabbit disappears. As a magician performs that magic trick, Krishna, by the manipulation of his material potencies, he manifests a form of himself in matter. But Krishna is not material, but that energy is from him, and therefore it's one of his forms. You have to follow the thread of the language very carefully. And it's not an easy thing to conceive of, not even an easy thing to explain. So what Prabhupada is wanting to do here is, one of the things he's wanting to do, is to make it clear to his reader that while everything comes from God, and into that which comes from him, he enters in his spiritual form, and he performs various pastimes which are exhibiting various features of his transcendental identity. This form that he exhibits as Lord Sri Krishna is not a material form, but the leaving behind of an apparent form, just like a worldly person that got killed in an accident and they leave behind the body. Specifically, Prabhupada said this is specifically to bewilder the mind of the atheists. And the theists, so we're aspiring theists, should understand very carefully what is Krishna doing. The nature of his transcendental form again and again and again exhibits the fact that his form is not material. And yet he's leaving behind, when he leaves this world, a material form. And how is that and why is that? It's by his own potency he can do, with his own potencies, whatever he chooses. And as he entered the world for his devotee's sake in the prison house of Kamsa, he's exhibiting his four-armed form of the Supreme Lord. And when he leaves this world, he leaves behind Avirat Rupa. And in between, he's exhibiting his divinity also. So it's a pastime. Point that Prabhupada is making is foolish people don't understand. And the way to move from the position of being amongst the foolish that don't understand is to hear from the scriptures and authoritative explanations of those scriptures so that we can understand Krishna's position properly. I think one last thing. The basis, this is chapter 14 that we're reading from. The basis of this understanding that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead from whom all other expansions come, this is according to Jiva Goswami and our acharyas, this understanding coming in the third chapter of this first canto is a principal utterance of the whole scripture, Mahavakya. The understanding that the subject of the Bhagavatam is about Krishna, the Supreme Personality and Godhead. So when there are other understandings presented in different places in the Bhagavatam and in turn in other scriptural writings, we are to understand those based upon that frame of reference of that principal utterance. There are other statements that indicate different things, even in the Bhagavatam and certainly in other scriptures. So, just like within the third chapter itself, there's a question, please describe the incarnations. And there's a list of incarnations as an answer. So Krishna is listed as amongst the incarnations. So it sounds like he's an incarnation of someone, of the primordial form of the Lord. That's what it sounds like. He's one of many incarnations. So the avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world. So Krishna is one who descends into this world and performs some of the lesson. He's one of many avatars. That's what it sounds like. And that seems to be consistent with some understandings of other scriptures. But that statement that follows, that of these various avatars that have been just listed, one should know that Krishna is the origin of them all. So, visually, a very simple way to understand this is, we're all sitting in the living room, and we all walk through that doorway. Maybe somebody came in some other way. Most likely we came through the doorway, so we could say, the doorway is the source of emanation of all of us into this room. That's not wrong, but it's incomplete because before we walked through the doorway, we had some other existence and we were doing some other things. So Krishna makes his appearance through the Purusha avatars as much as we might walk through the doorway. But Krishna also exists on the other side of this material creation. Other than an avatar, Krishna has his spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. And amongst those various, so do the other avatars. Ram has his spiritual realm beyond this earthly abode, or within this earthly abode he descends in his spiritual dham, but that's a manifestation of the spiritual dhammas in the spiritual sky. There's no temporariness of that. And each of the avatars of the Lord. So of those, each of those Vaikuntha forms, they're the ones that are in this plenary portion category. So the statements found in the scripture, those forms of the Lord in the spiritual sky, they are plenary portions of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. They're plenary portions of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. This third chapter of the Bhagavatam states it. And so it's not wrong to say Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, because there are statements that say like that, or that the Lila avatars are forms of the Lord emanating from Lord Vishnu. It's true. And other statements and other statements and other statements. This is it's a technical subject, and some people just get exhausted by technical subjects and say, forget it. But it's very sensitively treated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this very subject that we're speaking about. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that discussing these topics very thoroughly is, it makes the mind stronger in spiritual understanding. And from time to time, we run into people that have, you know, they have issues. They're uncomfortable about the conception of Krishna as the personality of God, because when they were little, they learned something else. When I was little, I learned something else. But this very careful consideration of the statements of Scripture is very clear. Like one man the other day was, he didn't want to make a public issue about it, but he had a private issue of, you know, some of the things that Krishna does that are, they seem to be immoral. And other forms of the Lord, they never do those things, so why is that? And if one looks at Krishna's activities as through the lens of morality, one will find such things. And whereas, let's say, Ram impeccably, no trace of immorality, of anything that even hints at immorality and anything that hints at it, he banishes Sita, although it's already proven that Sita has no lack of purity. There's many layers of things in Ram's Leelas. His experiencing the Vipra Lunga Bhav, the root of separation from his beloved. But his Leela, Ram's Leela, was to exhibit the characteristics of an ideal Kshatriya, an ideal king of this world. And so his pastimes appear very human-like, and that's part of what's very attractive. They're very human-like, and yet he's divine. So he's adorable within human society. Very, very powerful component of his Leela. But Krishna's pastimes, as the original personality of Godhead, while exhibiting features of morality, he's exhibiting features that are not of this worldly sense of morality, but a higher sense of unrestricted attraction, a love for the personality of Godhead, even if it means I transgress the obligations of religiousness. Like the example, there's many examples, but like the example of Krishna instructing Yudhisthira to say, Ashvatthama is dead, loud enough so that Drona can hear it. Now, everybody knew Yudhisthira is the emblem of virtue, and Yudhisthira would never tell a lie. So if Yudhisthira said, Ashvatthama is dead, he's dead, because Yudhisthira would never lie, by hearing that, Drona would then become discouraged from fighting and it could be defeated. So why did Krishna choose, he's the personality of Godhead. He could have chosen a zillion, billion different ways of taking care of that problem. He chose that particular way. What's the point? He's God. Why is he not teaching truthfulness? Like Ram taught truthfulness. Stick to your word. Always speak the truth. Never deviate from virtue. Why did Krishna do that? He's God, he, you know, etc. So what our acharyas explain is Krishna was indicating that he is the establisher of what is virtue. Dharmam sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is not something that we determine, it's something that God determines. And so if God says, don't tell a lie, you don't tell a lie. And if God says, tell a lie, you tell a lie. It's attachment to the personality of Godhead that's the standard of what is Dharma. So for him to say that was an exhibition of higher than this principle of I will do this and I won't do that is whatever the Supreme Lord says, that's what I'll do. And that's Dharma. Again, Krishna could have arranged for, because he's the personality of Godhead, the removal of Duryodhan from the battlefield in a zillion different ways. What was the purpose? To instruct this principle, Dharma, comes from the Supreme Lord. So in ordinary circumstances, it's the standard. You don't tell a lie. And if Supreme Personality Godhead says, do that instead of this, you do that instead of this. Like, another example, Krishna said, oh, I've got a headache. The only thing that will remove my headache is dust from the feet of someone placed on my forehead. So no one was prepared to give the dust from the feet on Krishna's forehead because it would be offense to put their feet on Krishna's forehead. No, no, I can't do it. The devotees are ready to do it. Take the dust. Don't you realize? You'll go to hell. Let us go to hell. Krishna's got a headache. Whatever the Supreme Lord wants, that's... What does it matter? What good karma will be by keeping virtue? The hell with our virtue. Krishna's got a headache. Get the dust from my feet quick. So Krishna exhibits various forms of lila that establish his supremacy. And for those who are faithful devotees, it's with great relish that they appreciate how Krishna's exhibiting his wonderful pastimes. In the case of the gopis, Krishna was exhibiting how elevated is their love. They're prepared to go to hell because I've got a headache. Just see how elevated is their love. Krishna likes to glorify his devotees. And Krishna doesn't have a headache. But the gopis are thinking, oh, Krishna's got a headache. It's a pastime. So the unique feature of the original personality of Godhead is that he exhibits numerous pastimes that are inconceivable. By they're certainly above the standard of the worldly conception of morality. Krishna is enjoying with the gopis, our acharyas, in those 31 to 34 chapters of the 10th canto of Jiva Goswami, again and again and again and again explains the distinction between the prohibitions for us, embodied souls, parts of Krishna, to do such things as Krishna is doing is abominable, yet in Krishna's case, there's no abomination. It's his own energy. He's associating these gopis, their expansions of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani's expansion of his own potency. There's nothing inappropriate. It's his own potency. If we could expand ourselves where our pleasure potency is manifest externally by such and such forms, that's a whole other thing. You can't do that. For us, there's restrictions, and Krishna doesn't have those restrictions. Rather, his own expansions were desiring to increase the happiness of Krishna, and it's a pastime of Krishna enjoying with his own internal potencies, expansions of his internal potencies. It's not going to be understood as long as one thinks of the Lord in a material way. None of his pastimes are going to be understood, including this disappearance pastime. And that's what the whole chapter is, that's the topic of this 14th chapter. Krishna indicates this important verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoviti Tatvata Chakta Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mamiti Sojana. If one can understand the Divyam, the transcendental nature of my Janma, or in this case is Moshandya Lila, his disappearance Lila, his appearance in this world, and his activities in this world, one can understand the transcendental nature of those, one will not take birth again in this world, which means that's not an easy thing to understand. It's more rare than a diamond. More rare than a whole treasure chest of diamonds. Have a whole treasure chest of diamonds, it doesn't mean you're not going to take birth again. What money can you spend to get a ticket out of birth and death? It's not a material commodity to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities. And therefore, as Prabhupada is indicating, worldly people, it's a problem for them. And sharp moralists, they've got issues with Krishna. Because it goes against their sense of what is to be done. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. They've got a problem. So then one has to understand the whole range of Krishna's entrance, activities, and disappearance in a way that doesn't have to stand up to our, the measure of our entrance, activities, and disappearance in this world. Krishna's not subject to our measuring sticks. Question? Yeah.
Been
it's going to be a good one, you can tell. Go ahead.
When all the Mahabharata prayers have finished and Krishna's prayer to leave, would it have been, since Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas, although they knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they were not acting in all reverence but more a confidential sort of way, with Arjuna being a confident friend and Yudhishthira Maharaj being not, at least for the holy dealings, being an elderly to Krishna, would it have been wrong on their part to have discussed in detail what the plan was, or anything other, which was just too much for them to.
It was too much for them. Their transcendental emotion was such they were sensing, but they didn't want to even say it, or to speak of that. The transcendental emotion was preventing them. What would have been wrong, just would have been possible. They were checked by their own emotion. And they're completely conducted by the Yogamaya potency as well. Meaning, like this discussion about Bhishma Dev not stopping this honoring of Draupadi. We had some discussion about that already recently. So, it's not like Bhishma to not do something. Even he was in a supported position, hierarchically, being under the protection of the Dhritarashtra and the royal order, still, he can, in principle, reject that obligation to follow, because it's just scripturally wrong, but he went along with it. Or he didn't. So why didn't he? By the influence of Yogamaya potency, not because he's bad. Like Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra are bad. But Krishna, Prabhupada indicates in the purport, Krishna wanted to show a principle of when women are not protected, you commit the flagrant disrespecting of women, you'll be destroyed, even whoever you are. greatest of persons. So, at that time when they were leaving, and some of the other circumstances, to understand how, like, Maharaj Pariksit, why did he behave the way that he behaved towards Chamakrishi? By influence of Krishna. When pure devotees, the Pandavas, they're Krishna's eternal associates. Whenever he appears, they're so confidential, whenever Krishna appears, they appear. Each of these roadshows, the Krishna spool that Prabhupada is saying, each universe, the Pandavas are there. They don't get tired of it. So they do things that are just induced by Krishna. Arjuna is becoming bewildered. Arjuna doesn't get bewildered, but he gets bewildered. And so Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna has his purposes, and the internal potency fulfills those purposes, and his pure devotees act accordingly, but that internal potency manifests according to the bhava, or the transcendental emotion, of the devotees towards the Lord. And so, they didn't just ask Krishna, they made an arrangement where Arjuna would go, and it was part of the lila, the unfolding of Krishna's lila. Arjuna would go, and there would be separation, and they would see all these things. Just Krishna's pastimes and intensifying the affection of the devotees in separation. Wondering, will he return? Rather than knowing, oh, since you've asked, yes, it's true, and in about 11 months I'm going to be gone, so better prepare yourself. It's not part of Krishna's lila to do like that. And they're completely under the control of his internal potency. Not their free will, but they're bound by the love that they have. They have a particular nature of that love that they have also. It is an interesting space to be that they're in. They know Krishna is the personality of Godhead. This is discussed a little bit when Narada visits Hanuman. The difference between one who knows who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the greater intimacy and confidentiality that Hanuman believes the Pandavas have more than him. As intimate as Hanuman is with Ram, he believes that the Pandavas, he gives all those reasons why their intimacy is even greater. He's in the position of servant, but they're in the position of cousin. Krishna takes a subordinate position to them. How could he do that, knowing that he's the personality of God? Be my chariot driver. Okay, turn left, turn right, stop, go forward. Krishna. And night watchman, messenger. Krishna takes a subordinate position, and they let him do that. And it's part of their transcendental affection, because Krishna likes. So along those same kind of lines, that's my understanding of why the details of lila play themselves out the way that they do. Hanuman might not ask because of awe and reverence, and they might not ask because of their intimacy. The intensity of their emotions is just too much. So instead they, by diplomacy, they send Arjuna. which is allowing an intimacy between Krishna and Arjuna. It's the enactment of the yoga maya potency.
So if Bhishma Pitamaha would have stopped happening there, would he still be revered as he is right now?
Sure. Just at a different lila. One of the things that Krishna did at his passing was he put the spotlight on Bhishma. Bhishma can pacify Yudhisthira when even I can't pacify Yudhisthira. Bhishma on his passing day with great pain is giving this eloquent exposition on the duties of mankind. So that was, you could say, to compensate for what may have been an error. So what Bhishma had been exalted, yes. But it was the reason behind Bhishma's not saying was Krishna's influence upon Bhishma to not say. So another lesson could be exhibited. And would he have been as greatly honored had he stood up? Yes. He is who he is, and he's just acting under Krishna's internal potency influences. He loves Krishna, and he knows Krishna, and he's Krishna's man. I'm going to vote.
When some people think that while accepting the ideal behavior of pastimes of Lord Ram and denying some of them, denying some of the principles like the pastimes of Lord Krishna, as you were saying, contradicting that the
Lord having an issue with why does Krishna like this? I've got a problem with Krishna.
Yeah. So in that case, is it right way to say that they're trying to put Lord in their platform
and they want to
become Lord because I'm an ideal person and
that's less overt. That's there. Very clearly, not at all subtle, they're bringing Krishna down to a worldly position when that's a mistake.
At the same time, they are trying to present themselves.
Yes, but it's the nature of bringing someone down as it puts me up. It seems to, anyway.
One of the arguments I was here, he was saying that Lord Ram, he sacrificed so much for 14 years, and Jesus sacrificed so much for the humanity. But if you see Krishna's pastimes, he's always enjoying. Yeah. You don't see him suffering.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't even consider more exalted than Lord.
Okay. and I would say to such a person, Krishna's pastimes are different. If you want to really look closely at it, what Krishna wanted was to be with the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna left the residents of Vrindavan on that platform, on the material inspection platform, to be away from what he really wanted in order to annihilate demoniac kings. But the deeper reason is that Krishna wanted to enhance the love of the residents of Vrindavan by even Buddhist separation. And as much pain as that gave him, as they were feeling great separation from Krishna, he was feeling great separation from them. But, so, moralists need to be brought ultimately to I mean, one way to bring up a moralist to a higher position is let them become firmly attached to Ram and Jesus Christ, and they'll become purified. But in that purified state, the understanding is there's something that's above. The position of God is there's nothing that he has to do, including posterity. Everything that Krishna does is for the benefit of others. There's nothing that Krishna does that's not for the benefit of others. All the time. And the worldly appearance of exile and crucifixion are not part of his lila, so. But everything that he does, everything that all the forms of the world do, it's again, it's a mundane measuring stick. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Well, therefore, I don't revere him as God because he's the supreme enjoyer. While Ram was in exile, he was enjoying. And so, some people like martyrs as the heroes. The virtuous person being misunderstood. Okay, you've misunderstood Krishna. Prabhupada tells the story, it's in writing right after devotion actually, one German scholar, it turns out that German scholar is Prabhupada's godbrother, but one German scholar came to India searching where is God, and everywhere he went he saw forms of the Lord where they all were doing something. That was something they had to do. And Krishna had nothing he had to do, therefore he could understand he's God. Turning around the other way. He has nothing to do but enjoy. But all of those who are Jesus Christ and Ram, they're expansions of Krishna. So he's exhibiting through various leelas activities that are instructive for worldly persons like us. But he's not a worldly person like us.